And it's about how, when we follow and live into Jesus' way of life, we become covered in the dust of our rabbi, that we can live more fully into his ways and his teachings, to become more like him in seeking God's kingdom. So we have talked about loving like Jesus. We have been talked about being covered in the dust of generosity in our relationships. We have talked about honoring God's name as a way of praying and being covered in Jesus' dust. We also talked about the language that we use in talking with one another to stay away from gossip, which is life-giving language, and that also is another way to show love. We also talked about weighing the scales in someone's favor. So it's about when we're in a relationship with someone, seeing them in a favorable light. So not judging them or prejudging them negatively, but seeing them in a more positive light to open up conversation and relationship. And this week, like Sandy said, we're going to talk about prayer. So I'm going to start this way. So my growing up was kind of different. Being raised by two parents who were born and raised in a very mixed Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn, Yiddish was like a second language in my house. So there were all these little Yiddish phrases that were said all the time. And one of the things that my dad used to say to me when he was absolutely irritated with me was he would tell me that I had chutzpah. Does anybody know what that means, if you have chutzpah? It's not good. Elizabeth, what does it mean if you have chutzpah?
You've got some nerve.
You've got some nerve. It's like this rude, obnoxious audaciousness. Like, my dad would be like, you've got chutzpah when I am acting in such a way that I am really about to get myself into some serious trouble. I love this comic because this is a chutzpah in action. Like, yes, I want this book, and you're going to pay for it. It's like this absolute obnoxious nerve that you can scald even, like, and it's really shameless and detestable. So when my dad is telling me that I have chutzpah, it's really like, you are on thin ice. But there's something also about chutzpah when you look into the rabbis and they talked about what it means to have chutzpah. Because it's not all bad or obnoxious. Bad chutzpah is completely obnoxious, don't get me wrong. It can be ego-centered, brazen, it's really boisterous, and it takes on this attitude that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, and that's not good. But chutzpah can also be fierce in a good way. So, here's an example. It can be brazen and audacious in love, and it can also cope when it's used for good. So, a quote from the Shabbat website on this one. So, to be a good Jew, you need two opposites. A sense of shame that prevents you from acting with chutzpah to do the wrong thing. So, it's like it holds you back from doing that wrong thing. And a sense of chutzpah that prevents you from being ashamed to do the right thing. Right? So, it's like this paradox. Like, chutzpah helps you to live so that you're not necessarily doing the wrong thing, but you have enough guts to do the right thing. Chutzpah helps us to discern what the right thing is to do, and it also gives us the guts to go after it. So thinking about many examples in history of those who use their chutzpah for greater good, I would say, some would say, Nelson Mandela had chutzpah. Like thinking about his life and his audacity and insolence of speaking against the apartheid regime. It took serious guts to do that. Michael West makes a point of reminding us that chutzpah made a crossover into the English language back in the day of the Civil Rights era. Thinking about Rosa Parks, she had chutzpah when she sat, and she sat in the front of that bus. And she refused to give up her seat. So can you think of someone, or an example, of someone using their chutzpah, someone who had that kind of guts to really use that for good? Gandhi. Yes. The founding fathers. Right.
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Anyone else? Can you think of an ordinary person who's acting with chutzpah? Some sheer nerve, right? He had audacity to love people who were considered unlovable or living on the margins. He cared for the poor. He cared for those who were considered unforgivable. He took in and sought peace and justice for those who were, and kind of broke down all those stereotypes against those who were trying to seek the status quo. And all of this he did because he had the guts to say, God wants to relieve people's suffering. And he had the guts to say, I think in relationship with God, I can lead you back to life. And that's what Jesus said. He drew people in with love, and that takes a lot of good stuff. In his prayer life, Jesus prayed with force. And he had a lot of guts, even in his prayer life. So today we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. And one of the things, when you read the story of Jesus in Luke, you'll see that Jesus is out serving and then he retreats to pray. And then he's out serving and then he retreats to pray. There's this constant pattern of returning to prayer because he constantly, consistently knows that it is through prayer and having that fierceness in his prayer life that he can ground himself in God, that he can renew his spirit to be able to go back out to do the kind of loving work that he is called to do, to seek God's kingdom, to seek peace and justice for all people, and that requires prayer. And so this morning we're going to talk about the many ways that we can pray with chutzpah, with that fierce force, so that we can seek God's kingdom first. So I thought we would watch a video first about one way of praying with chutzpah.
Part of prayer is like this way of communicating, where me and the Spirit are just in conversation about what I'm thinking, what I'm going through, where are the questions that I have. This is not the way the world is supposed to be. And I feel like the Spirit crying with me. And that's when all of the creative process becomes prayer for me. Some people don't even know if they believe at all. You know, they're communing together. And I'm very vulnerable because the process that was about naming what we're feeling and going through at this time, a very dark, hard time. It still is for so many of it. But so from that, so it was in this about carving, but then afterwards, even my husband, he's not an artist, he's so, well, he is an artist, he doesn't know it, but still, like, this is not a big part of me. But he came, he wanted to participate, I didn't have to make him. He was like, I think I need the space for introspection in my head to, like, I think it'll be good. So he came. And then my introvert husband was just like, can I share with somebody else about what I created? You know, and I was like, oh, sure, grab some guys. Like, you guys sit and talk. And so it was him and two white men sitting together having a conversation about this moment in time and what the conversation they were having with the spirit at the table through the work coming from their hands. And dude, he was the only person I lived with that was at the table, and I know he was a different man when we left the space. It was like something was released, you know? And so that's part of my new vision and dream for this space is to provide some way for people to come in and resource, not to be in the dirt through my resources, but for people to come in and commune at the table together and process life and create and whatever needs to happen, happen here. We're paying attention to the groanings. And we're answering it, you know. Saying, yeah, we will not have to weep forever.
Interrupt and resist the status quo. It has the power to transform and change us. When we invite the Holy Spirit in, it can be overwhelming because it can feel vulnerable, but it has the power to reconcile and to heal our wounds. I loved that video because it reminds us that art and creativity is one way of praying, and it's a way that we can come together and to create. It was an example of people who were willing to sacrifice. They came with that hope for that moment, like just to even be in the room and to say, we have these needs, and to be able to be open and to share them. And they believed, they dared to believe, and had hope for that God was in the process with them, and that God had the power to change them. Art has that kind of power to interrupt our habits so we can effectively address our needs in our day. This is attributed to Banksy, this piece of art. This showed up on a wall in London after there were a number of protests against resistance around climate change and people who were speaking to the streets to say, we need to do something and address the climate, the situation that we have with our climate. And so people dared to dream. They had the chutzpah to believe that they could interrupt and reverse climate change. Another way of praying with chutzpah, imagine silently standing on a street corner praying and interrupting the practice of separating children from families. A friend of mine who was a pastor in New York City traveled down to Mexico just to simply pray for those folks down at the border. Or thinking about a moment like the crab walk, where we have this dream that we think that we can interrupt the fact that there are a number of children and families in our local community and around the world that go hungry every night. So we march through the streets to say, this is not okay, and we want people to be fed. This is praying for stuff. It's not about agreeing. It's not about disagreeing. And so many times, there's so many tensions in our society. But it's really just about loving people. Just simply loving people in an audacious and bold way, and trusting God in this process. Jesus, when asked about what it means to pray by his friends, this is how he answered his friends with this scripture. And I'm going to invite us to read this together. One day, he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.'" Then he said, "Imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up, and I don't have anything on hand. The friend answers from his bed, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything.' But let me tell you, even if you all get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, they'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game or anything. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live steak on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" There's a lot of good stuff in that, wasn't there? I think this is a challenge for our time. Because there are so many ways, I think, in the sort of in the media and the public space where it feels like we're disagreeing all the time. And I think as people who follow Jesus, we're called to act differently. And we're called to be bold in ways that we love people and how we love one another. So when Jesus' friends ask him about prayer, he answers with words that we call the Lord's Prayer. You can see those words. And if you notice, in Luke's Gospel, it's a little bit different from Mark's Gospel. He's very simple and straightforward. He says 3 things. In this Gospel, Luke says, Jesus says, "Which is pray for bread, and enough bread today. Enough, just enough. What is enough?" He asks for us to pray for forgiveness, because whole relationships require us to not only forgive others, but to receive forgiveness. And the third thing is to resist temptation. As Lord knows, we can be tempted in so many ways. So in these 3 things, Jesus is teaching us to pray for enough for today, for forgiveness and relationships, and to discern a good and clear path. And that we're only required to pay attention to what we need and to rely on God to provide for those needs. So we're not supposed to pray for an outcome. We're just supposed to pray and to trust God in the process. To be able to pay attention to what we need and to simply love others. And the sayings in this parable, I love these parables that Jesus attaches to the prayer. Because I think they help us to understand the importance of chutzpah, like daring to be brave and bold in the ways that we're praying, and that we can rely on God Because I think the parables teach us more about the nature of God than about what we should be praying for. It's just pretty simple to stay focused on love, to have awareness of what the needs are for ourselves and our community, to seek love, forgiveness, and justice, and peace. And that takes a lot of chutzpah, to seek God's kingdom, to show preferential treatment to the poor, to seek release for prisoners, to give food and drink to those who are in need. That's what it means to pray with chutzpah, to be audacious enough to continue to seek wholeness for our community, even to seek preferential treatment for the poor, even if we know that the poor will always be with us, that takes us up. Or to be obnoxious, to never give up in the struggle that no one will go hungry in our community, that takes us up. Or to dream big and believe that God's power has achieved, that God's love has the power to change the world, that's chutzpah. So I'm going to dare you to take that on, to be fierce in your prayer life, and to dare to dream. Amen. So thinking about praying with chutzpah, come into our prayer time. These folks have chutzpah. Where are they? There they are. So this is our group of youth that were just away at work camp. So thank you for those 2 Sundays away that I could be with our youth. And I'm going to give a shout out to the farmers who were on the trip. And there were friends from the church in Hakadakwa and from the Presbyterian Church in Emmaus. Ed Coleman was one of our adult chaperones on the trip. And Ed has never held a power tool in his life. And he said to me before we left, he said, "I don't even know how to hammer a nail." I said, "Well, Ed, you're the horn." Ed helped build a wheelchair ramp. I mean, you should have seen him with the steel saw. We texted Hannah during the week. She's like, "I can't believe it. Where's my husband?" It was really great. So Eddie Coleman, Jariah was on the trip, and we had a fantastic time. Next year, we're going to go to Kentucky to serve the residents in Kentucky. We had 52 crews. There were almost 400 youth and adults from around the country that gathered together in Rushville, Indiana, and we were able to serve 52 different residents in the area, and they all prayed with us. But one of the gifts that I receive whenever I do these work camps, which truly it is a gift to me, is to watch these kids be transformed through prayer and through action and through loving others. And it took great comfort for them to sleep on a school floor, to meet a resident, and to meet other kids that they have never met before. And they have this incredible gift through the Holy Spirit that they really are able to just be themselves and to feel what they feel and to share with others. And it's incredible to watch them grow through the work camp week. So thank you for all of your love, your prayers, and for those who supported work camp. It truly is a gift, and I thank you for that. Are there other prayers, joys, and concerns that you would like to share today? Or other things to be praying for?
Celebrate. about the men, there was a significant number of women that knew that God.
For leaders to who can come out who are helping that healing work. Yes, for me.
Carol? We're healing the worker that we take care of you.
Especially thinking about the children, knowing that the Allentown School District served 2 million meals during the school year, and I often pray just every day for those kids and have been because I know that there are a number of kids in our community that are not hungry because they're not getting their free meal at school. And also, I would encourage you to come out for WOW next week because there will be a presenter who is in charge of the homelessness program for the Allentown School District, and his name is Rooster. His nickname is Rooster. I don't know if do you know his name, Shannon?
I heard his real name.
But he's coming out to the WOW service to share about the programs that they have about available. So I would really encourage you to come out. So yes, thank you for opening up the children account. Other prayers to lift up today, Bob?
Soon our meeting up was yesterday. Many of us have had the luxury of going back to our air conditioned homes or apartments. Many in the cities, et cetera, that is just, it must be under better option.
Yes. So praying for those without air conditioning in this heat wave. Others?
My dad is on vacation with us this week, so it was hard, but we're thankful that he was there and he enjoyed himself, so something to be
thankful for. Continue prayers, Fran. Other joys or concerns this morning? Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your spirit that is with us, always with us, always with us. And God, I think when you ask us to pray, you ask us to be bold in our prayers. And so I'm going to be bold and just ask that in some small way you can continue to nudge us and move us to love. God, it is hard to love sometimes. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to be calm and still when things are struggling. It's hard to know how to act sometimes when it feels so overwhelming. But God, continue to be with us. Be able to address the needs both here in our local community and the needs that we see in the world. This is really tough stuff. Like I think often of our friends in Honduras, and we know their situation, and it's hard, God. It
you so hard. So we have this bold prayer that we can somehow build relationships with each other and that we can have the power to change a community, and we can see your hearts from under us. All it is doing that is giving hope. So we pray for our friends in Honduras. God, we see the needs in our local community for children who are hungry, for people without air conditioning. We see our friends who are in need of healing, for family members who are facing difficult surgeries, and we're going to be bold and say, God, be with everyone and their needs, that they can find comfort and strength in you. And God, when you're far away, when we don't know if we can hear you or see you, and the world feels like it's crushing in, give us the strength to just cry out. And give us the faith to believe and to know that you are there. So be with us, we pray, dear God, in all our coming, in all our going, that in all things we can just be centered and grounded in your love, and that we can see peace in our world. We pray in Jesus' name.